I'm sorry, he said, his face turning to her, now looking impossibly sincere and clear-eyed. But I want to remember these things about you. I was actually hoping I'd see you here. How long have you worked here again? She asked. Me? He scratched the back of his head. Wow, I don't know, while now. 1 month? A year? 6 years? She asked, thinking he really was some kind of savant. Six? He said. That would be the beginning. You think I look old enough to have been here 6 years? I don't want to look that old. Is it the gray hair? May had no idea what to say. Of course it was the gray hair. Should we get a refreshment? She asked. No, you go ahead, he said. Afraid to leave your hideout? No, just feeling less social. She made her way to a table where a few hundred glasses of wine had been poured and were waiting. May, right? She turned to find the two women, Dana and Hillary, who were building a submersible for Stanton. May remembered meeting them on her first day, and since then she had been getting their updates on her second screen at least 3 a day. They were weeks away from finishing the craft. Stanton planned to take it to the Marianas Trench. I've been following your progress, May said. Incredible. You're building it here? May glanced over her shoulder to make sure Calden hadn't made a quick exit.
With the Project 9 guys, yeah,
Hillary said, waving a hand at some other unknown part of the campus.
Safer to build it here, to keep the patented stuff secure. This is the first vessel big enough to really bring back full-sized animal life, Dana said.
And you guys get to go? Dana and Hillary laughed.
No, Hillary said. This thing's built for one man and one man only, Tom Stanton.
Dana looked askance at Hillary, then back to May.
The costs of making it big enough for more people are pretty much prohibitive.
Right, Hillary said. That's what I meant.
When May returned to Calden's stairwell, holding two glasses of wine, he was in the same place, but he had somehow gotten himself two glasses of his own. Someone came by with a tray, he said, standing up. They stood briefly, each two-fisted, and May could think of nothing but clinking all four glasses together, which they did. I ran into the team building the submersible, May said. You know them? Calden rolled his eyes. It was startling. May hadn't seen anyone else do that at the circle.
What?
May said.
Nothing,
he said. Did you like the speech? He asked.
The whole Santos thing? I did. Very exciting.
She was careful with her words.
I think this will be a momentous moment in the history of demo.
She paused, seeing him smile.
What?
She said.
Nothing, he said.
You don't have to give me a speech. I heard what Stanton said. You really think this is a good idea?
You don't?
He shrugged and drained half his glass. That guy just concerns me sometimes. Then, knowing he shouldn't have said that about one of the wise men, he changed tacks. He's just so smart, it's intimidating. You really think I look old? What would you say? 30?
You don't look that old, May said.
I don't believe you. I know I do. May drank from one of her glasses. They looked around, watching the feed from Santos's camera. It was being projected onto the far wall, and a group of circlers stood, watching, while Santos mingled a few feet away. One circler found his own image caught on the congresswoman's camera and positioned his hand to cover his second projected face. Calden watched closely, his brow furrowed. He said. He tilted his head, like a traveler puzzling out some odd local customs. Then he turned to May and looked at her two glasses and at his own, as if just now realizing the humor in both of them standing two-fisted in a doorway. I'm going to get rid of this one, he said, and downed the glass in his left hand. May followed suit.
Sorry,
she said, for no reason. She knew she would soon be tipsy, probably too tipsy to hide it. Bad decisions would ensue. She tried to think of something intelligent to say while she could.
So where does all that go?
She asked.
The stuff from the camera?
Yeah, is it stored somewhere here? The cloud?
Well, it's in the cloud, sure, but it has to be stored in a physical place, too. The stuff from Stuart's camera... Wait, you want to see something?
He was already halfway down the stairwell, his limbs nimble and spidery.
I don't know,
May said. Cowden looked up, as if he'd had his feelings hurt.
I can show you where Stuart is stored. You want to? I'm not taking you to some dungeon.
May looked around the room, scanning for Dan and Jared, but couldn't find them. She'd stayed an hour, and they'd seen her, so she assumed she could leave. She took a few pictures, posted them, and sent a series of zings detailing and commenting on the proceedings. Then she followed Cowden down the stairs, three flights, to what she assumed was the basement.
I'm really trusting you, she said.
You should, Cowden said, approaching a large blue door. He passed his fingers over a wall-mounted pad, and it opened. Come.
She followed him down a long hallway, and she had the feeling she was passing from one building to another through some tunnel far underground. Soon, another door appeared, and again, Cowden released the lock with his fingerprints. May followed, almost giddy, intrigued by his extraordinary access, too tipsy to measure the wisdom of following this calligraphic man through this labyrinth. They rode down what May guessed was four floors, exited into another long corridor, and then entered another stairwell, where they again went down. May soon found her second glass of wine cumbersome, so she finished it.
Anywhere I can put this?
She asked. Without a word, Cowden took the glass and left it on the lowest step of the stairway they'd just finished. Who was this person? He had access to every door he encountered, but he also had an anarchic streak. No one else at the circle would abandon a glass like that, which amounted to some grand act of pollution, and no one else would take such a journey in the middle of a company party. There was a muffled part of May that knew Cowden was likely a troublemaker here, and that what they were doing was probably against some or all rules and regulations.
I still don't know what you do here, she said.
They were walking through a dimly lit corridor that sloped gently downward and with no apparent end. He turned.
Not much. I go to meetings, I listen, I provide feedback. It's not very important, he said, walking briskly ahead of her.
Do you know Annie Allerton?
Of course, I love Annie.
Now he turned back to her.
Hey, you still have that lemon I gave you?
No, it never turned yellow.
Huh?
He said, and his eyes briefly left their focus on her, as if they were needed somewhere else, somewhere deep in his mind, for a brief but crucial calculation.
Where are we?
May asked.
I feel like we're 1,000 feet underground.
Not quite, he said, his eyes returning.
But close. Have you heard of Project Nine?
Project Nine, as far as May knew, was the all-encompassing name for the secret research being done at the Circle. Anything from space technology, Stanton thought the Circle could design and build a far better reusable spacecraft, to what was rumored to be a plan to embed and make accessible massive amounts of data in human DNA.
Is that where we're going?
May asked.
No,
he said, and opened another door. They entered a large room about the size of a basketball court, dimly lit before 12 spotlights trained on an enormous red metallic box the size of a bus. Each side was smooth, polished, the whole thing surrounded by a network of gleaming silver pipes forming an elaborate grid around it.
It looks like some kind of Donald Judd sculpture,
May said. Cowden turned to her, his face alight.
I'm so glad you said that. He was a big inspiration to me. I love that thing he once said. Things that exist, exist, and everything is on their side. You ever see his stuff in person?
May was only passingly familiar with the work of Donald Judd. They'd done a few days on him in one of her art history classes, but didn't want to disappoint Cowden.
No, but I love him, she said. I love his heft.
And with that, something new appeared on Cowden's face, some new respect for or interest in May. As if, at that moment, she'd become three-dimensional and permanent. Then May ruined it.
He did this for the company? she said, nodding at the massive red box. Cowden laughed, then looked at her, his interest in her not gone, but certainly in retreat. No, he's been dead for decades. This was just inspired by his aesthetic. This is actually a machine, or inside it is. It's a storage unit. He looked at May, expecting her to complete the thought. She couldn't. This is Stuart, he finally said. May knew nothing about data storage, but had been under the general idea that storing such information could be done in a far smaller space. All this for one person? She asked. Well, it's the storage of the raw data and then the capacity to run all kinds of scenarios through it. Every bit of video is being mapped 100 different ways. Everything Stuart sees is correlated with the rest of the video we have, and it helps map the world and everything in it. And of course, what you get through Stuart's cameras is exponentially more detailed and layered than any consumer device. And why have it here, as opposed to store it in the cloud or in the desert somewhere? Well, some people like to scatter their ashes, and some like to have a plot close to home, right? May wasn't precisely sure what that meant, but she didn't feel she could admit that. And the pipes are for electricity? She asked. Cowden opened his mouth, paused, then smiled. No, that's water. A ton of water is needed to keep the processors cool, so the water runs through the system, cooling the overall apparatus, millions of gallons every month. You want to see Santos's room? He led her through a door to another identical room, with another great red box dominating the space. This was supposed to be for someone else, but when Santos stepped up, it was assigned to her. May had already said too many silly things that night and was feeling lightheaded, so she didn't ask the questions she wanted to ask, such as, how could these things take up so much space and use so much water? And if even 100 more people wanted to store there every minute, and surely millions would opt to go transparent, would beg to, how could we do this when each life took up so much space? Where would all these great red boxes go? Oh, wait. Something's about to happen, Cowden said, and he took her hand, and he led her back into Stuart's room, where the two of them stood, listening to the hum of the machines. Has it happened? May asked, thrilling at the feel of his hand, his palm soft and his fingers warm and long. Cowden raised his eyebrows, telling her to wait. A loud rush came from overhead, the unmistakable movement of water. May looked up, briefly thinking they would be drenched, but realized it was only the water coming through the pipes, heading for Stuart, cooling all he'd done and seen. Such a pretty sound, don't you think? Cowden said, looking to her, his eyes seeming to want to get back to the place where May was something more than ephemeral. Beautiful, she said. And then, because the wine had her teetering, and because he'd just held her hand, and because something about the rush of water set her free, she took Cowden's face in her hands and kissed his lips. His hands rose from his sides and held her, tentatively, around the waist, just his fingertips, as if she were a balloon he didn't want to pop. But for a terrible moment, his mouth was inanimate, stunned. May thought she'd made a mistake. Then, as if a bundle of signals and directives had finally reached his cerebral cortex, his lips awakened and returned the force of her kiss. Hold on, he said after a moment, and pulled away. He nodded toward the red box containing Stuart and led her by the hand out of the room and into a narrow corridor she hadn't seen before. It was unlit, and as they stepped further, the light from Stuart no longer penetrated. Now I'm scared, May said. Almost there, he said. And then there was the creaking of a steel door. It opened and revealed an enormous chamber illuminated by weak blue light. Cowden led her through the doorway and into what seemed to be a great cave, 30 feet high, with a barrel vaulted ceiling. What is this? She asked. It was supposed to be part of the subway, he said, but they abandoned it. Now it's just empty, a strange combination of man-made tunnel and actual cave. See the stalactites? He pointed down the great tunnel, where stalagmites and stalactites gave the tunnel the look of a mouth full of uneven teeth. Where does it go? She asked. It connects to the one under the bay, he said. I've gone about a half mile into it, but then it gets too wet. Where they stood, they could see black water, a shallow lake on the tunnel floor. My guess is that this is where the future Stuarts will go, he said. Thousands of them, probably smaller. I'm sure they'll get the containers down to people size soon enough. They looked into the tunnel together, and May pictured it, an endless grid of red steel boxes stretching into the darkness. He looked back to her. You can't tell anyone I took you here. I won't, May said, then knew that to keep this promise, she would have to lie to Annie. In the moment, it seemed a small price to pay. She wanted to kiss Calden again, and she took his face again, down to hers, and opened her mouth to his. She closed her eyes and pictured the long cave, the blue light above, the dark water below. And then, in the shadows, away from Stuart, something in Calden changed, and his hands became more sure of themselves. He held her closer, his hands gaining strength. His mouth moved from hers across her cheek and onto her neck, pausing there and climbing to her ear, his breath hot. She tried to keep up, holding his head in her hands, exploring his neck, his back, but he was leading. He had plans. His right hand was on the small of her back, bringing her into him, where she felt him hard and pressing against her stomach. And then she was lifted, she was in the air, and he was carrying her, and she wrapped her legs around him as he strode purposefully to some point behind her. She opened her eyes briefly, then closed them, not wanting to know where he was taking her, trusting him, though knowing how wrong this was, trusting him so far underground, a man she couldn't find, whose full name she didn't know. Then he was lowering her, and she braced herself to feel the stone of the cave floor, but instead she felt the soft landing of some kind of mattress. Now she opened her eyes. They were in an alcove, a cave within the cave, a few feet off the ground and carved into the wall. It was filled with blankets and pillows, and he eased her down upon them. This is where you sleep? She asked in her fevered state, thinking it almost logical. Sometimes, he said, and breathed fire into her ear. She remembered the condoms she'd been given at Dr. Villalobos' office. I have something, she said. Good, he said, and he took one from her, tearing the wrapper as she pushed his pants down his hips. In two quick motions, he pulled her pants and panties down and tossed them aside. He buried his face in her stomach, his hands holding the back of her thighs, his fingers crawling upward, inward. Come back up here, she said. He did, and he hissed into her ear. May. She couldn't form words. May, he said again, as she fell apart all over him. She woke up in the dorms and first imagined she'd dreamt it every moment. The underground chambers, the water, the red boxes, that hand on the small of her back, and then the bed, the pillows in the cave within the cave. None of it seemed plausible. It was a kind of random assemblage of details that dreams fumbled with, none of it possible in this world. But as she rose and showered and dressed, she realized that everything had happened the way she remembered. She had kissed this person, Calden, who she knew very little about, and he had led her not only through a series of high-security chambers, but into some dark anteroom where they'd lost themselves for hours and passed out. She called Annie.
We consummated.
Who did? You and the old man?
He's not old.
He didn't have a musty smell? Did he mention his pacemaker or diapers? Don't tell me he died on you.
He's not even 30.
Did you get his last name this time?
No, but he gave me a number where I can call him.
Oh, that's classy. And have you tried it?
Not yet.
Not yet? May's stomach tightened. Annie exhaled loudly. You know I'm worried about him being some kind of spy or stalker. Did you confirm that he's legit?
I did. He works at the Circle. He said he knew you, and he had access to lots of places. He's normal. Maybe a little eccentric.
Access to places? What do you mean?
Annie's tone took on a new edge.
At that moment, May knew she would begin lying to Annie.
May wanted to be with Calden again,